Welcome to the DeathStarProds.com Movies Podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it is brought to you by Let's Go with Busted Tees. Started in 2004 by the College Humor People, Busted Tees will bring you awesome and hilarious graphic t-shirts for a period of no less than 7 or more than 8 years. Click the link at the bottom of the page to get yourself a grab bag that is 4 shirts for $30, saving 60% off the total cost of all 4 shirts. And these are 4 random shirts. So keep that in mind. Yeah, link at the bottom of the page, Busted Tees, they're great and hilarious shirts. Or if you want to get some shirts that aren't particularly great or hilarious, go to deathstarprods.com/store. We are still holding our thing. We are looking for art. If you have some art that you would like to submit to us to make into a shirt, and we like it, we will put it on a shirt, and you will get a cut of what we make. So, yeah, just post your art in the forums, in the post that Bobby made. It's in the lobby, and you don't have to be a member anymore to post shit, so there's that. And so yeah, if you don't feel like making shirts or buying shirts and just want to give us money for some ungodly reason, go to deathstarprods.com/indiegogo. That is IndieGogo. Donate some money there. Or just spread us around. You know, help us spread the word. Help us make this shit sound be better. And hey, since we started again, we're doing Extra Life again this year. This is the charity started by Doc Adams over the now, I think, defunct Sarcastic Gamer. So, yeah, we have the page up. It is there's a post on it. I'll probably be putting a link at the top of the page, but on top of, like, the little toolbar thing. But I don't know. Yeah, Extra Life, donate some money. I don't know about these guys, but my money, but any money you sponsor me will be going towards the Sick Kids Foundation in Toronto.
It's the same for me.
Okay.
And yeah, you can donate money or join our team.
Yeah, help us help kids.
The top fundraiser who's not one of us can join us on our live podcast of the day when it happens.
Yes, because that's a reward. Hang out with us, assholes. But yeah, on October 20th, we will be doing a 24-hour live podcast on our Tiny Chat. So that's going to be fun. But yeah, as always, I'm your host, the Dead Man. Enjoy with you today. We have Bovimon.
Hello.
And Toy Box.
Hey, everybody. How we doing?
We are Shaxless this episode. I wonder if this could be a thing, because like for the past 2 weeks, Bobby hasn't been on. So I wonder if like next episode, Shax won't be on, and then for that episode after that, Toy Box won't be on. Then at some point, I'm not going to be on. But yeah, we have movies and TV to talk about. So Toy Box, what have you been watching?
Oh man, I watched Moneyball.
Okay, what do you think of that?
It was pretty good. I enjoyed Moneyball quite a bit. It was kind of shocking. I, to be honest, I thought it was going to be stupid, kind of boring, but it was really good. Very entertaining.
Is that like that Oakland A's movie?
Yeah, it was, it's about a scout. Brad Pitt plays a scout and trying to gain wins and make the team profitable again and all that stuff. So.
Okay, cool. Probably gonna be shit.
So yeah, that was about it.
Anything else you want to say about Moneyball?
I recommend go watch it. Rent it, buy it, do whatever you can to watch it. It was really good.
Okay, so I guess moving on to the media show. Bofi, since you have not been on, this is your first podcast on in a month, what have you been watching?
All right, are we still keeping trailers separate?
Yes.
Okay. Because you know the one I want to talk about, but
I do.
I digress. So the first movie on my list is Resident Evil Degeneration.
Yes, the CG one.
Yes, it actually has Leon, and it actually has, you know, a Resident Evil storyline.
Has Vinnie Coppola and S. Kennedy.
Yeah.
That is what I refer to him as at all times.
And, yeah, never trust a guy with glasses.
Of course, dude. You never trust a guy with glasses. It's movie rule number three.
I don't actually have much to say about that, other than it's one of those animated movies where I didn't mind the dub. It was done fairly well. There were some times when it was bad, but
it was really bad.
I didn't think it was that bad. Like, I've seen a lot worse.
Yeah, like, remember when, like, the big, like, evil corporate dude is like sitting in his thing. And he's like saying, it's like, what the hell is this? Get the hell out of here. But he doesn't, like react the way you, a person who was screaming would react.
Oh yeah. No, everything with that guy was wrong.
Yeah. Just like sitting there all calm and stuff. And just like saying like, it's like with keeping that dialogue. And if the way he was like gesticulating, it would have been like, it's like, what is this? Get the hell out of here.
The problem is that when they made the movie, Japanese people don't know how pissed off Americans are. That's the problem with that.
Yeah. Oh, well. Is there anything else?
I've got plenty.
What else?
What else? Okay. I'm going to move on and say Wolf.
Wolf.
This is a movie where Jack Nicholson is a werewolf.
Oh, yeah, that one. The one where he fucks him off set, I think. I think that was like a rumor of like that, like a sex scene that happened in Wolf was like an actual, they actually just having sex.
Okay. Could have happened. Also, David Hyde Pierce was in this movie, but he barely you barely really see him. Only it's actually kind of great because he's pretty much his character from Frasier.
Oh boy.
Just
Frasier.
A little bit funnier, maybe.
I can't really judge funny.
Not so much the boring way of speaking, but the reactions. The reactions that he makes that totally saved the show.
Yeah, never watched Frasier.
Yes, well, David Hyde Pierce's reactions to the things that are going on is the only reason anyone laughed at it.
Yeah, I am more of a stupid person. I'm more of a layman comedy guy.
Yeah, I didn't watch much of Frasier.
I saw, like, a couple... So, like, in total, of the small pieces of episodes I've seen, I may have seen one full episode. But it would have been the most disconnected episode ever because it's like 5 minutes from the end of one episode then like 5 minutes from the middle of another one.
Right. Well, they're all pretty much the same, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Well, I say that. I don't actually watch Frasier either, so...
Yeah. No one does. No one does anymore. The show's over.
I haven't watched any significant amount of Frasier.
Yeah. Okay, so what else?
Hold on, there's something else I have to mention, is that basically in this movie, the werewolf transformation for most of it is just Jack Nicholson getting mutton chops.
What, seriously?
Yes, so his mutton chops are his power.
So he's a werewolf who could be destroyed by a silver hair trimmer?
Perhaps.
Mayhaps.
But man, those mutton chops, they look awesome and they give him power. And there's this guy who's like totally obsessed with completely destroying him. My issue with the movie is his reason for trying to completely destroy Jack Nicholson's character.
Okay, what is his reason?
For his job.
Okay.
He literally, like, the guy's the antagonist, so at one point he gets bitten by Jack Nicholson, so he's also becoming a werewolf. He murders a bunch of people, kidnaps someone, like, does all this shit to try and fuck up Jack Nicholson's life to get his job.
Okay. Why? What does Jack Nicholson do?
Well, initially, Jack Nicholson has the job, and then they get bought out by this rich billionaire or whatever, and he fires Jack Nicholson and gives the job to the other guy. Basically, it's for a book publishing company, so Jack Nicholson is able to work things with all the authors who happen to like him so that they would leave and create their own publishing company, unless, of course, he gives the job back to him with extra power and extra money. And so he does that, and then so Jack Nicholson goes to the other guy, and he's like, well, you're fired. Oh, by the way, thanks for fucking my wife, because the other guy fucked his wife, too.
Okay.
And then Jack Nicholson pisses on him.
What, literally?
Literally.
He just pees on a guy in an office.
No, not in an office. He fires him in the bathroom and then pisses on him.
Good lord. Okay, so that's awesome.
So yeah, it's actually a really entertaining movie. It's not a good movie, but it's an entertaining movie.
God, so Is it a lot of Jack Nicholson pissing on someone?
Sorry?
What percentage of the movie is Jack Nicholson peeing on people?
He only pees on one guy at one point. But don't worry, the rest of the movie is still really entertaining.
I am less interested in this movie. It's this entire movie just like Jack Nicholson presents golden showers. And mutton chops. Mutton showers. He pees mutton chops on people.
But speaking of a movie being really bad but entertaining, I've been watching a couple of Godzilla movies.
Ah, yes. So, from Toei?
You mean Toho? Yes.
Toho, yeah, Toho.
These are...
Sorry, I'm thinking... Yeah.
This is sort of my secret little shame, is that I enjoy these movies a lot. Like, a lot.
Like, too much.
Well, no, but I enjoy them more than people usually do.
Okay, so you're saying you want to fuck Godzilla.
No, I do not want to fuck Godzilla.
Well, then you like it the irregular amount.
No. I actually will go out of my way to watch Godzilla movies. I've probably seen all of them, but don't remember all of them. Like, I've been watching these things for quite a while. Anyway, so the first one I watched was Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah. This one was a 1999 release. It involves time travel.
Of course it does.
So basically the plot line goes like this. These people come from the future to present-day Earth to say, we have to go back in time to stop Godzilla from being created because if he's created, he'll destroy Japan. Like, really destroy it in the future. He'll destroy it more than he already has. So yeah. They go back in time. And they teleport the dinosaur that gets nuked and turned into Godzilla somewhere else. And then... But as it turns out, the people from the future have this secret plan. And they toss out these little things. They're like little tiny pet dragon things. Three of them. So then it gets nuked and turned into King Ghidorah. And then when they go back to the present, my first problem with the movie comes up. So they've done this, and now Godzilla should never have existed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Technically, they've created a paradox, because if Godzilla never existed, they never would have gone back to stop Godzilla from existing.
Yeah, that's the exact same thing with every single time travel movie.
But here's my main issue with it. Everybody remembers Godzilla. They're like, oh yeah, Godzilla's gone now. It's like, no, Godzilla never existed. Oh, Godzilla's gone now. Oh. No, he never existed.
Okay. Maybe they had a paradox. Maybe they had a paradox machine.
Even with a paradox machine, everyone should remember Godzilla as never existing. And they're like, now we have King Ghidorah instead. No, King Ghidorah was created at the same time that Godzilla would have been, so you've always had King Ghidorah. In my mind, what should have happened when they came back is like, what, Godzilla, you mean that three-headed dragon thing, right? No, Godzilla was just sort of a big dinosaur thing. Well, we got this three-headed dragon Godzilla, and...
Yeah, that is a glaring, glaring plot hole.
And
but,
it pissed me off for the entire movie.
And you know how I feel watching one of my blah, blah, blah. Never mind. Moving on.
They're not all so bad. Anyway, so they have this plan to nuke the dinosaur because it's still on Earth. It hasn't been destroyed. It's just been moved. So they're going to nuke the dinosaur to turn it into Godzilla. But then when they go over, they find out, oh, it's already been exposed to radiation. There's already a Godzilla.
Fuck.
So he comes back, kills King Ghidorah, destroys the time travelers, except for one who turned good because she came back with the exact intention of destroying Japan because it becomes too economically powerful, and then feels bad about Japan being destroyed because it's her homeland, and then develops a love interest with this guy, but then when she leaves to go back to her own time, says that he's her ancestor, and out of nowhere, another love interest just pops up next to him.
Wait, what?
Yeah, another girl who's his new love interest just pops up next to him in like the last minute of the movie.
It's confused.
Like, oh, she's my love interest now. Okay. Oh, she's my descendant. Okay. See, I had things confused. I thought the time traveling girl was my love interest. Yeah, it's a confusing and frustrating movie.
It sounds like it.
But a couple guys in rubber suits beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, true. That's
and some model cities get crushed. So overall, you know, good.
Yeah, that's why I kind of like Power Rangers.
So I have another Godzilla movie.
Really?
Now this one I think was there were a few things in this movie that were a lot better in my memory than they were when I watched it again. But the number one thing to remember is the last time I watched this movie, I watched it subbed.
Okay.
But I could not find it subbed again. And so I had to watch the dub, which dramatically changes the movie. I could say, like, this particular one actually had some serious focus, like, some serious messages to it. And they just get shit all over by the dub, because the dub takes nothing seriously, and everybody talks like this!
Okay, so what's the actual name of the movie?
Godzilla, Mother, and King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters, All Out Attack. I think the original title of the movie is just Godzilla vs. Mother and King Ghidorah.
Okay, Mothra, I thought you said Mother.
No, Mothra.
Yes.
And I can't remember what year that one is. It's a later one. And it had a complete suit redesign. They usually redesign the suit every 2 to 4 movies. This one had its own suit. And there were good reasons to go with this suit, but the other reasons why they shouldn't have gone with it. But that's one of the things I remember being better. I thought the suit was amazing when I remembered it, but then when I watched it again, I'm like, oh, there's some flaws with this suit. So yeah, the big problem I had was watching it dubbed. Like, it deals with some serious issues, like the absolute horror at the idea of another nuclear bomb. Japan having to own up to its mistakes during World War II. All of this comes up, and it's all discussed very seriously in the Japanese version, but in the English version, you have people talking like this to tell you the prophecies, and people talking like this if they're on the news! It's like a fucking South Park episode.
Fuck you, Dolphin. Fuck you, Bear. Yeah, so...
But yeah, the only other thing I'm going to talk about is the suit, which I remember quite differently. And I remember liking it because they kind of went for a croc design. Sorry, there are a couple other things I'll have to mention, but they kind of designed it a bit more like a croc. I kind of like, because he does go underwater a lot, and it kind of looks cool, but then at some points, you notice his head's hanging low a lot, and the suit's a little bit fat. It is a little bit fat, and it's much more cumbersome, you could tell. It was harder for the actor to work in, whoever the actor was. I want that job. Honestly, it would be a shitty job, but I would just like to say I was Godzilla in that movie.
You want to be the Toho monster guy?
Yeah.
Oh wow, yeah. That'd actually be a really good job, because like all I have to do is just kick stuff.
Well, actually, it would suck because you'd be in the rubber suit and like sweating to death. But
I'm guessing that there are a lot of takes. I'm guessing there are like a lot of takes there, so you will have like time to just like go out there, take off the suit, you know, take a drink, you know, fill the suit full of ice. Yeah, that'd be a really great job. Just like, hey, see that monster? That's me.
Yeah.
Just go around hit on Japanese high school girls.
Hey, I'm Godzilla. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, hey, I'm Godzilla. And guess what? I was in the suit backwards. You see that tail going up and down? That's all me, baby.
So anyways, another thing they did is, like, when he uses the nuke breath for the first time, it really looks like a nuke, and that's one of the things where, like, in the Japanese version, it was taken very seriously. Like, everyone's like, oh my god, the ghosts of our past are coming back to haunt us. But in the dub, you don't take it seriously at all.
So wait, like when he like breathed out his stuff, it was like
it caused a nuclear explosion with a mushroom cloud.
Oh, okay. That did he like shoot out a ball and then it went boom, or did he shoot like a stream that went boom?
You don't actually see it happen that time. It's the first time he used it. You just see like the spikes glow up. He's prepping for it. They did this cool kind of inhale effect for it, and then you just see, boom, mushroom cloud. And yeah, whenever his stream hits something, it, like, explodes. So.
Wow.
So yeah, I guess that's it about the Godzilla movies. Sometimes yeah. I get a craving.
Yeah, one movie that I actually kind of want to see that is from like the same kind of Toho era of stuff is Frankenstein Conquers the World. That looks insane.
Oh, actually, one last thing about Godzilla. Sorry, I will end after this. This is the first Japanese movie where they mention the American Godzilla as a fake, and there's a later one where the real one kills the fake one in about 3 seconds, because if you've compared what they're like in the movies, the real one's much bigger and can breathe fire.
That is awesome. Yeah, like this Frankenstein Conquers the World thing, it is bizarre. Like it was, I think it was like German scientist brought the heart of the Frankenstein monster over to Japan, but then while it was in Japan, it was in like Hiroshima, which then got bombed. And then like since the heart was exposed to radiation, it grew a body.
I get the strangest feeling I've seen this movie.
Yeah, and then like at the end, there are like two different endings. The first one is like, you know, Frankenstein's going around like he's like Frankenstein smash, and then doing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden there's like an earthquake that opens up and then sucks Frankenstein down to the ground. Or a giant octopus shows up out of nowhere and then just grabs him.
I like the octopus one. It's very Japan.
Yeah, and then like they did a sequel to that one called like War of the Gargantuans, where apparently like that Frankenstein was like split into two things, one good, one evil. Because yeah. And then like it starts out with that octopus attacking a boat, and then the evil Frankenstein shows up, beats that octopus up, and then the boat gets destroyed. He destroys the boat anyway, and they're all fighting. And then I think there are two endings again, where it is just, you know, giant either underwater volcano or giant octopus again. Because apparently Toho loves that giant octopus.
You know, they also like doing culture clashes with America. A really
yeah.
good example is King Kong has fought Godzilla.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's a movie called King Kong Meets Godzilla.
I think Godzilla would win.
Yeah, I forget how it ends.
Yeah, because while King Kong is big, he can't breathe fire.
Radioactive fire.
Exactly.
And he's not Godzilla big. He can climb buildings. Godzilla just sort of walks through them.
Yeah, Godzilla is a building.
So anyways, moving on to my last movie.
Yes.
Dragon Ball Evolution with riff tracks.
Okay, that's better.
With and the riff tracks that I got was by Team 4-Star. They're the guys who do the Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
Outstanding.
So they did a riff track for Dragon Ball Evolution, and it was pretty funny.
It better have been, because Dragon Ball Evolution was shit.
Yes, and you get to... You are constantly reminded of how shit it is, but also while laughing your ass off at how much they're making fun of how shit it is.
At some point, I have to force us to watch that. So we can do our own comedy thing on it.
Do our own commentary? Yeah, that was the one issue I did have with their commentary track. Just as constructive criticism here, guys. Not that you would ever be on my site listening to my podcast.
Yeah, not that you even know who you are.
Now, a riff track is different because it's scripted, but their commentary was a little bit sparse at times.
Okay.
Sometimes I felt like I was watching Dragon Ball Evolution, and that scared me.
Yeah, that's... Watching Dragon Ball Evolution is never a good thing. It is just... It is real... It is aggressive how terrible that movie is.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, God. Why did they make everyone white? Like, well, why did they make everyone in high school, I guess? And why did they make everything so fucking...
And why does Bulma have, like, a streak of blue?
Yeah, and why is Chi-Chi not... And why does Chi-Chi not have a forehead laser? Like, I can understand taking some stuff away to, like acclimatize American audiences to it, because, you know, if they just kind of sat down and watched, like, a live-action take on Dragon Ball, I'm pretty sure they would shit themselves.
Yeah, well, I understand changing some things, but then there's, like, shitting all over everything. And the one thing they could have done right, okay, you're going to use a computer-generated Shenron. How do you fuck that up?
Like they did. It's like, They did. They didn't have any oolong. Their dino caps were suck. It just like, all right, so I'm going to throw this thing out there and then transform. So it's not just poof.
Yamcha actually does something right.
Yeah, that's never supposed to happen. He doesn't have Puar. He doesn't even have, like, a cat. Like, that, it, like, he didn't have to have a floating, magical, transforming, talking cat. He could just had a cat.
Yeah, he could have had a kitten in his pocket. There you go.
He could have had a smarter than the average cat.
Actually, I think a kitten might have saved that movie. Because a kitten can save almost any movie.
Nothing would have saved that movie.
Well, that movie unless you completely remade it.
Unless you took the original.
I'm sick of anime being made into live action. Just stop. And yeah, I swear to Christ, if you make a Death Note movie with starring Zac Efron as Yagami Light, I will fucking find you and slit your fucking throat.
They're making an Akira movie with Kristen Stewart. So yeah, I won't slit your throat, but I will probably beat you readily about the face and neck with a shillelagh. I will get my hands on one, just for the express purpose of that. Yeah, moving on.
That's what I've watched.
Toy Box, you enjoying all this anime fanboy rage? You've been awfully quiet.
Well, that's entertaining.
We're in a whole month of it, coming soon.
Sweet.
Well, for us, coming like Saturday, right?
It's coming in 2 days from recording this. Starting with Death Note. So, be sure to come back next week for our Death Note commentary. And this isn't live action Death Note. This is a Death Note director's cut of the anime.
Yes, and it's really good. Mm-hmm. Very little gets changed, and they're, dare I say, good changes.
Okay. So, do you have any TV?
No, I don't have anything for TV, except The Walking Dead, because I haven't been on in so fucking long.
Ah, Walking Dead.
Season finale has come and gone.
Yes, it has.
Shane is finally dead, and I believe I was on to talk about Shane's death, though.
I don't know.
No, that was probably on comics.
Yeah.
I always talk about it on comics.
Yeah, because Shax, all he reads is one issue of The Walking Dead.
So we always talk about this show to fill time.
Yeah. And hey, it fills time well.
But, yeah, fucking Carl. Fucking Carl.
Yeah, I really hope
his little fucking head off.
I really hope they get to the compound soon so that Carl gets shot in the face. I would actually really like to see that. I would like to see them do Carl getting shot in the face.
See, as I said before, I missed the Herschel's Farm arc in the comics, so mm-hmm. I didn't even know that Carl actually gets shot that first time.
No, he does. Just takes one to the chest and then. And that's why they stay at Herschel's farm.
See, and in the comic, I'm guessing that's one of the things that leads to him becoming a badass, is he got shot.
Well, there's that, but then like there's some subsequent stuff that happens, which is insane. Like the twins. Oh, the twins.
Well, that's after the prison. I read to the end of the camp.
Wait, and then, was it after the prison? I thought the twins were dead before the prison.
No, the boy twins?
Yeah, like one.
That's
like
well the after the prison, because Lori's dead at that point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and Morgan's there.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
yeah.
And remember... Da, 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 da. Oh, never mind. But yeah, yeah, fucking Carl, but Michonne. Michonne has shown up.
Yes, Michonne has shown up. I cannot wait to see who is playing her, because I did not see her face. Or read the credits at all.
And her entrance was fucking perfect.
Oh yeah, it was fucking great. It was just, kills a zombie, and then you see her with two zombies without any mouth or arms just chained behind her, just, I am badass.
Yeah, and... I'm kind of glad they saved Andrea, because while she's been a bit of a twat in the show, she's like one of those characters that I can see being saved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even like Rick as much in the show, because he reminds me of an asshole cop. Like he's not even one of the reasonably likable cops. He's an asshole cop.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that with when the show like progresses, is gonna like after Lori dies. Spoiler alert. The relationship between Andrea and Rick is gonna like intensify. Because that seems to be the other thing, like the relationship between Shane and Lori intensified, and now I'm guessing that the relationship between Rick and Andrew is going to be that too. Well, actually, I kind of hope it is, because that's an interesting relationship dynamic to me.
Yes, and that's one that should show up in the comics. Well, show up more. Like, it's been mentioned, and he's kind of said no, but...
It happened once. They kissed, and then he's like, no. Yeah. And then she goes off and talks to a hat. So yeah, Walking Dead.
I don't like that Dale's dead.
Yeah, well, Dale died in the comics too.
Well, yeah, but I don't like that he's dead now. And my big thing that's been happening so much in the show is that they never hear zombies coming.
No, they don't.
Like, it could be a huge fucking horde and they don't notice.
That's because they're idiots.
Like, you know, it kind of annoys me. I know there's a lot of people who are disliking it, so hopefully they'll fix that for the third season and, like, write better zombie encounters. Because I'm sorry, yeah. A horde appearing out of nowhere is not a good zombie encounter.
Nope. No, individual zombies appearing out of nowhere in the middle of, you know, a horde is fine.
Yeah.
That's proper zombie etiquette. So, yeah, there's that. What else you got?
That's it.
Okay, I guess on to me. So, Castle. I'm going to be spoiling this week's episode, because it was awesome. So, at the end of season 3 and the beginning of season 2, Beckett was end of season 3 and the beginning of season 4, Beckett got shot in the chest. And then, at the beginning of season 4, it was, Castle went up to talk to her. And she said she doesn't remember anything that happened after she got shot. Which kind of sucks, because after she got shot, Castle told her he loved her. And she's been keeping this a secret for the entire... But the truth is, she actually did remember. She's been keeping it a secret this entire time. And Castle finally finds out in one of the most kind of slap-in-the-face kind of ways possible. So, in this episode, a bomb is set off at a fake Occupy Wall Street movement thing.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's called Take Over Wall Street. Because, you know, topical. So, yeah, they... Bomb goes off, then they bring in someone who supposedly put the bomb there, and they're talking, Beckett's, like, in the hot box with them, and then she's just saying, I don't remember what happened. It's like, really, you don't remember? I was shot in the chest, and I remember every second of it. And then Castle just happened to be Castle was in, like, the viewing room, but Beckett didn't know he was in there.
He's always in the viewing room.
What happened was, she went into the thing and started interrogating the guy. Then Castle came into the station, dropped off her coffee. He's like, hey, where's Beckett? He's like, he's in the box. Then he goes in the viewing room, and then she just happens to say it. A couple minutes after he comes in. Because she didn't know he was in there. But yeah, so she says it. And then Castle just spends the entire episode trying to figure out what that means for them. And he decides, she obviously does not love me, so I will just keep going into work and try to suppress all my feelings. Because that's healthy.
Here's an idea for both of them. Fucking talk to each other. You're around each other fucking constantly. You've obviously got these feelings. Fucking talk to each other. Be like, hey, Beckett, I heard you say that you remember every second of it. What does that mean? Why were you keeping it from me?
Yeah, but why
talk
would he do
to
that?
Her, you yeah, dumb why, fuck.
Yeah, but why would he do that when, A, he'll probably get cock-blocked by every other person? Because that is always what goddamn happens. Like, remember that episode with the nuke? It was just, like, it was, I think it was a two-part episode with the nuke, but it was, like, just every single second. It's like, well, Beckett, hey, you guys are good to go. Turner! Like, hey, Beckett. It's like, hey, listen, Kate. It's like, hey, Beckett. To suppressing that, all that rage inside. Like, even when they were about to die, all he did was just grab her hand. Like, he didn't think, fuck it, just make out with her, then rip all the cords out. You know, fuck, even Chuck. A bomb is about to go off. What they think is a bomb. It is not, like, just timer counting down, then they just make out for a bit. And it's like, oh wait, the bomb didn't go off. It's not a bomb, it's a dude. There's so many shows that do it so much better, and why haven't they fucking done it yet?
yeah, it's just like
I really hope to do it for the season finale.
You know what I almost feel is gonna happen? Alexis is gonna show up with like handcuffs and like handcuff the two together and be like, talk to each other. Fucking morons.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if she just like came with the handcuffs and just like laced her knuckles through and just punched them both in the face. You know, because she is that kind of badass, you know. She has access to knives now. You know, just like, just mix all the chemicals that she can find inside the thing, just make truths, just like truth gas or something, just like pump it into their room. They start talking, it's like, hey, you know, Becca, I kind of love you. It's like, wait, what? So, yeah, fucking Castle. But hey, next episode, he is dealing with his emotional trauma by running up to a crime scene in his Lamborghini with a hot chick.
Yeah, of course. And then Becky will be like, oh, I guess he didn't care that much about me. And they'll keep fucking dodging each other and...
Yep. But then moving on to something less nerd-ragey. Mm-hmm. So, Once Upon a Time, they did an episode with the Mad Hatter. And it was pretty good. Yeah, so at this point in the show, Mary Margaret, who is this world's version of Snow White, is under arrest for supposedly murdering David's wife. And so David in this universe is Prince Charming. So Snow White is under arrest for killing Prince Charming's wife.
Which one?
What do you mean, which one?
Fables reference.
Right. So, but yeah, like in this universe, all the different women's Prince Charmings are different princes. Like this one, like Snow White's Prince Charming is the only real proper Prince Charming because when they first met, she made a joke about, like, he was, like, being kind of a dick to her, so she just made a joke. It's like, oh, well, aren't you charming? And it just kind of spun off into calling him Prince Charming, which I actually kind of like. But yeah, so Snow White's in jail, her lawyer is Rumpelstiltskin, and the evil queen is doing everything she can to get him arrested, to get her convicted. And meanwhile, her daughter, who is the sheriff of this town, and her roommate is going around and trying to clear her name. And while she's doing that, she meets the Mad Hatter, who actually remembers who he is, because he's insane.
Oh my god, I forgot a show. Continue. We'll come back to me.
So yeah, so the Mad Hatter is actually pretty good. I actually like this guy. He's been in some other stuff, I can't remember what he was in. Like, he played Bucky in Captain America.
Okay.
Yes, Bucky is the Mad Hatter.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of cool, like, their depiction of the Mad Hatter, because the Mad Hatter didn't start out insane. So what it was the Mad Hatter was just, like, living in the woods with his daughter. Then the queen shows up and says, I need to go to Wonderland to get all this stuff. I need to go to Wonderland. And so he shows up with his hat at her castle. And apparently his hat acts as a magical portal to other worlds. So he just kind of throws it on the ground, spins it, and then it opens up a door, and it opens up like this huge room thing with a bunch of different doors, and goes through a mirror into Wonderland, where a slug is sitting on a mushroom and getting fucking blazed. And also the Queen of Hearts never takes off a veil. You never actually see the Queen of Hearts' face. She just has some weird horn that leads into her veil she uses to talk to her number two. And also, kind of cool thing, when they chop off their heads, they don't actually die. Like, their heads are still alive, just their bodies are now kind of dead. So that's kind of awesome. So, yeah, and so in the real world, he remembers who he is, and he's trying to force Emma to make his hat work, because she has magic, apparently. Because, you know, she's the daughter of Snow White and Prince Charming, and she went through a magical piece of wood into the real world, I guess. But yeah, so Once Upon a Time is still awesome. It's getting more awesome. And this coming Sunday, we will finally learn why the Queen hates Snow White so much. Because there is a reason. Like, it's been alluded to a few times. Like, it's been said. Like, when they first introduced, like, Snow White and Prince Charming in the fairy tale world, she's like, Charming asked her, like, why does the Queen hate you so much? Like, she blames me for ruining her life. He's like, did you? Yes. So Snow White actually did fuck over the Queen in some way, but we aren't entirely sure how. But we'll be finding out this coming Sunday. and it's probably going to be kind of awesome. So moving on, watching some more South Park. Just today, I watched Smug Alert and Man Bear Pig. See, South Park is still fucking awesome. It's fucking South Park, man. Just, yeah, I fucking love South Park. Just, Smug Alert was so great. Just, like, everyone started driving, like, Gerald, Kyle's dad, started driving a hybrid and just started, like, being such a dick to everyone in town. They started, like, handing out fake tickets to people who weren't driving hybrid cars. Because, so then Kyle and his parents, Kyle's parents and him moved to San Francisco to be with more people who drive hybrid cars and shit. And the people there, they start, like, talking every time they just put their hand between their legs and start sniffing their own farts. And all the kids are on acid so they can deal with their parents being, like, fart-sniffing retards. But yeah, it's funny. And it also turns into the perfect storm because a cloud of smug from South Park is about to, like, collide with a cloud of smug from San Francisco. And then if one bit of smug from George Clooney's Oscar award acceptance speech hits that thing, it'll just create a perfect storm of asshole. It was really good. So that was for shows. Moving on to movies. I watched The Karate Kid.
The remake?
1984.
Okay.
With Ralph Macchio and Pat Morita. Sweep the leg. So yeah, that's actually the first time I've watched The Karate Kid. And it's good. Obviously, but yeah, I don't know if it's because I'm fucked in the head, but I spent that entire movie thinking that someone should probably call the police on this guy. Because, you know, he's holding Daniel's. He's like Mr. Miyagi's holding Daniel a lot, and Daniel's usually wearing short jorts. So, like, if you see an old man walking along the beach with a young kid wearing short jorts who's soaking wet in a towel, an old Asian man at that, I might be raising some flags. But yeah, that... God.
Well, especially when you hear the man telling the boy to wax on, wax off.
Yes. Yeah, it just... one thing I miss about the 80s... One thing I kind of miss and don't miss, the bullies in all these movies are attempted murderers. I'm pretty sure, in this movie, there are, the kids from the Cobra Kai Dojo do at least, three counts of assault with intent to harm and one account of attempted vehicular manslaughter. Well, actually, no, that's attempted vehicular homicide.
You don't even have to throw a vehicular in there. It's attempted murder.
Yeah, it's fucking... They tried to kill this kid because he was hanging out with the main guy's ex-girlfriend. So, yeah, that's... Fuck. I both wish that more bullies were like these in movies. Like, if there were more movies like this, hey, the new kid's in town, then the bully tries to murder him in some horrible way. That'd be cool. But then there's the other side of... I can't even think of the other side. I'm kind of messed up by this. I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. I am really confused. This new structure of recording is probably gonna fuck me up something fierce. But yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. So yeah, what I'm saying is we need more murdering bullies.
Or less.
Yes, more or less. I can't decide. I'm confused still. Okay, moving on. Catch 44. So this is a movie with Malin Ackerman, Forrest Whitaker, and Bruce Willis. It is... So it stars them... Let's just go around the plot. So Malin Ackerman and these two other ladies who I've never heard of. Well, one of whom plays Jessica on True Blood, and the one of whom I've never heard of. So they are, these three women who work for this guy named Mel, and they're going to this bar place to pick up a drug shipment. But as they get there, shit starts going wrong. Most of them, the two other girls who aren't Malin and Ackerman end up dead. Malin's still alive, and then she starts learning some shit. And the movie is needlessly complicated. The actual plot of the movie, like going from A to B to C, isn't some weird labyrinthine mystery that you're setting up, that the movie sets it up to be. But it has this really weird, movie, it's kind of like starts in medias res. They're at the bar, and then they shoot somebody, and then, oh my god, she's shot, and then it flashes back to, before they got the job, and it's like, alright, so we're gonna be doing this, and then it flashes back further, and it starts, jumping back and forth between, a couple days ago, and a couple hours ago, and now, and it is just needlessly complicated. The movie is more of a mystery, the movie is less of a mystery than it thinks it is. Bruce Willis also plays a cokehead. So there's that.
So he plays himself?
Yeah, he also loves pecans. So I'm not sure if Bruce Willis has any kind of love for pecans or not.
I'm not sure if he's a cokehead. I wouldn't jump to that conclusion at all.
Oh, yeah, totally not. But yeah, so Catch 44 is... It's interesting, acted, Forrest Whitaker, he plays an assassin who can't remember who he is anymore or something. He has he's real weird. He plays he's black, but he plays a Mexican guy named Ronnie. But he also plays this really white nerd guy named Indycar or something. Then he starts playing a really stupid Southern sheriff. It is bizarre seeing how many different people this guy's portrays. He's He's a cleanup man for Mel, who's Bruce Willis' character, and then... I can't even fucking think of how to describe this movie, because I'm so fucked up. But it is not the greatest movie ever. It is overly simple, but still needlessly complicated.
Alright.
So, yeah. Yeah. And, so, yeah, Catch 44. If you see it, you see it. 3 out of 5. Moving on. I watched the Back to the Future trilogy. All three movies, back to back. To back.
Holy shit.
I fucking love those movies. But the time travel and the science involved in it is so insane. So, let me just see if you guys can answer me this question. In the second movie, when Marty goes to the future, then goes back to the... when Marty goes to the future, buys that Swartz Almanac, then Biff, old Biff, goes back in time and gives it to 1955 Biff.
Mm-hmm.
Why did Biff not have that book in the first movie? Because it was all taking place at the same time. And B, when Marty went back to 1985, when the book was given to Biff back in 1955... Actually, when the book went back, why was the future the same? And when Marty went back, what happened to the Marty from that timeline? Because it says, you're supposed to be in boarding school, you kicked out another one? So was there a Marty McFly at a boarding school somewhere else in that universe? Or was that Marty just supplanted? Did that Marty just disappear and then this Marty came into his place?
I don't want to try and answer these questions.
And Doc Brown, for that matter, when he was committed, did he just disappear from the asylum, or was he still in there?
I'm still trying to process the first part of your question.
Yes, so I didn't mean process. Did you not get what I was talking about, or did you do you understand, or are you just trying to think about it or something?
Yeah, I'm trying to your question about the almanac that the origins of it. I'm trying to process that right now.
I know the origins of the almanac.
Mm-hmm.
But Marty buys the almanac, then he throws it out. Then old Biff remembers that, hey, that's a time machine. He grabs the almanac, follows the time machine, gets in the time machine, goes back to 1955, drops off the book, then comes back to 2015. But the 2015 he left, not the 2015 that would have resulted from him dropping off that almanac.
Hmm.
Yeah, Marty, when Marty and Doc go back to 1985, Marty says, hey, let's go back to the future, grab the book and stop old Biff from going back. It's no, we can't do that. If we go there, we'll go to the future from this alternate timeline. But why did that apply to old Biff? Because by going back and giving young Biff the book, he would have then changed the timeline into that same timeline that Marty and Doc went back to 1985 in. So when he went back to the future, he would have gone to the future where he was rich and famous.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of going to that future, when he went to 2015, he went to the future he left from.
Basically, Langoliers.
Well, it's been a long while since I've seen Back to the Future 2. Weren't old Biff and young Biff in contact with each other, like they've seen each other?
Yeah, like old Biff went back in time and then started, it's like, hey, I'm a relative of yours, use this book, get yourself rich.
Okay, and isn't there like a consequence to see each other, like the universe will explode or something like that? There's a few...
Like Doc theorized that, like, if Jenna... Like you said, like you gotta make sure that like you don't see yourself in the future or past or something, because if you do, it could create like a time altering paradox that would destroy the universe, or you just go into shock and pass out.
Neither of that happened in Back to the Future 2.
No, it did not. But that was explained in Back to the Future 2. Like that was when that was introduced. Like Jennifer saw herself as an old woman and then she passed out from shock.
Right.
But I think that's because she knew she was that old, like. It's like I'm pretty sure those two, like, knew each other, like, knew who each of them were, like, wait a minute, that's old me. It's like, she's, wait a minute, that's young me. So then, like, Biff went back in time, it's like, all right, I'm going to find young me. But then young Biff was like, who the fuck are you?
Right.
So if he had known that old, that Biff, that guy was old Biff, that guy was an older version of him, he would have, like, passed out.
Hmm.
But yeah, oh god, these movies are so fucking complicated, but I love them so much. It's just, yeah, like, Clayton Ravine. Like, it's, so in Back to the Future Part 3, like, the doc has a tombstone. It says, like, Emmett Brown, like, this tombstone commemorating by his love, Clara. But Clara went over the cliff and into the ravine. That's why it was called Clayton Ravine when Marty left 1955. But then he goes back, it's called Shonash Ravine, then the doc saves her. And it would have been implied by him making her making a tombstone for him that he saved her then too. So that ravine should have never been named Clayton Ravine because she never fell into it. Okay, so I guess I'll talk about time travel because it's giving Bovey the sniffles. And so yeah, that does it for me for movies and TV shows. On to news.
News!
Yeah. So, first up, someone stole the Lorax statue from Dr. Seuss's house. Yeah, so in La Jolla, a suburb of San Diego, Dr. Seuss's widow, Audrey Giesel, she had a statue of the Lorax outside her house. Someone came along and stole it.
Asshole.
Yeah. So apparently it's like worth some money because like it was made of like heavy metals and stuff, but like they are not entirely sure. And it was also made by like Dr. Seuss's widow's daughter, who might have been Dr. Seuss's kid. It doesn't say. Oh no, so she was Dr. Seuss's stepdaughter.
Ah.
Okay, so yeah, that is just a dick move. So fuck that guy. Okay, moving on. I just wanted to say that because it sounded like news. So moving on. So Toy Box, do you remember the show In Living Color?
Yeah, yeah.
So apparently Fox is rebooting it.
Uh oh.
And they have some cast people. They have some people cast. So let's see. So it's being produced by Keenan Ivory Wayans, who created and starred the original series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also starring Callie Hawk, who was apparently a regular on Fresh Girl, a New Girl, I mean, on Fox. And it's also starring Jennifer Bartels, who is a person who is white.
Hmm.
So she's going to be one of the white girls.
I am curious if they're going to have Fly Girls and a DJ in the background. Like, before commercial breaks, they have the Fly Girls dance. I wonder if they're going to do that again. If so, that's going to be horrible.
Just had the house DJ.
Yeah. And the DJ was Wayne Brothers. Yeah. One of them.
It's one of the 8 billion.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So, moving on. Anchorman 2 is a thing. Yeah, so it's going to be directed by Adam McKay. Hey, it's going to star Will Ferrell and Steve Carell and Paul Rudd and David Kushner. It's going to have everyone from the everyone who worked in the first one is coming back.
Mm.
And we don't really know anything about the plot or anything.
I'm going to watch it just to see the Brick Tamlin scenes.
Oh yeah.
That's the only reason I watched the first one.
Yeah, that was Steve Carell's.
Yeah.
Jack can't find his phone. So should we bring him in?
No, we're almost done, so.
Yeah, fuck him. Alright, so also, yeah, so also on the Conan show, Conan O'Brien show, Ron Burgundy showed up Ron Burgundy showed up and started rocking out some jazz flute. Because that's always awesome. So that does it for that. Moving on. Cool. What?
No, nothing. Nothing.
So, Cartoon Network is making Nick Cannon make them a show. And they're also making a show with Legos. Yeah.
Mm.
Just thought I'd say that. Is it finally? The Thin Man, which is an old detective movie, is getting remade, and a bunch of actresses want to be in it. So, some of the actresses include Eva Green, who was from Drive. Amy Adams, who's from Amy. No, wait, no, that's not Eva Green. I don't fucking know what I'm talking about. Moving on. So, Eva Green, Amy Adams, Emma Stone, Carey Mulligan, Rachel Weisz, Kristen Wiig, Emily Blunt, and Isla Fisher all want to be in this movie.
Congratulations for them.
Yes, we don't know who's going to be in it, though. So, that's the whole thing. So, the movie is apparently about, like, these two. The movie is about a detective named Nick Charles and his wife Nora Charles, and they're trying to cast who will be playing Nora Charles. So yeah, they got the lady from Drive and some other people. And Emma Stone. Ah, Emma Stone. I like Emma Stone. Okay, so yeah, that does it.
I have news, oh,
yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, Bobby has news. Keep forgetting about Bobby.
I have news, yes. So this is more news about that book to movie adaptation that's coming up that you guys don't care about but will be good. The Fault in Our Stars movie now has writers and producers chosen.
Okay.
So the writers are Scott Neustadter and Michael H. Weber. They're the guys who wrote 500 Days of Summer, Pink Panther 2, Friends with Benefits, The Show.
Oh, God.
And Rosaline, which is not out yet.
That can only go pretentious.
Well, they're only adapting, right? I can't see them doing too much harm. I'm keeping high hopes.
Mm.
And then the producers, this is even less good news. The producers are the guys who did are Wick Godfrey and Marty Bowen, who you might know from the Twilight movies.
Fuck Twilight.
Or in the case of Wick Godfrey, you might know him from iRobot, Aragon, Daddy Daycare, Behind Enemy Lines, Alien vs. Predator, or a bunch of other movies.
It's Twilight.
So, I don't know. John Green, the writer of the book, seems excited about this lineup. I guess I can't argue with him because he wrote the book.
The hell you can't.
I can't argue with him. I've been arguing with him about pennies, but anyways.
Just because one of the co-creators of the Ninja Turtles agreed with Michael Bay doing this shit doesn't mean I agree with him.
Anyways, like I said, I have high hopes for this movie because the book is fucking amazing. It'll be really hard to do it any injustice. But then again, if they do it wrong, then it will be done wrong, and it will be a horrible mess. I'm really hoping for the good result here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so anything else?
No, that's my only news.
Okay, so on to new releases. So since we already did the movies coming out this week, last week, so we'll be doing. So first up, American Reunion. Because, yeah. Okay, so just let me get my fake movie phone voice. In the comedy American Reunion, all the American Pie characters we met a little more than a decade ago return to East Great Falls for their high school reunion. In one long overdue weekend, they will discover what has changed, who hasn't, and the time and distance can't break the bonds of friendship. In the summer of 1999, when four small-town Michigan boys began a quest to lose their virginity. In the years that have passed, Jim and Michelle married while Kevin and Vicky said goodbye. Oz and Heather grew apart, but Finch still longs for Stifler's mom. Now these lifelong friends have come home as adults to reminisce about and get inspired by their hormonal teens who launched a comedy legend.
I'm sorry. Is it the same actors again as the original movie?
Yep.
Sean William Scott's out of work. I just explained why that movie's being made.
Yeah, probably. I can't even remember the last thing Sean William Scott's been in. Wait, no, he was in Goon, which came out this week. So he was not out of... Yeah, he was in a movie this week.
What movie?
It was called Goon.
Uh-huh.
He plays one of the hockey guys who is hired to punch people. And it looks actually pretty funny.
Okay.
Yep, it's starring him, Liev Schreiber, and the lady who played Kim in the Scott Pilgrim movie.
Okay.
So yeah. Moving on, we have The Hunter with Willem Dafoe. So, The Hunter is the story of Martin, a skilled and ruthless mercenary sent to the Tasmanian wilderness to hunt for a tiger believed to be extinct. Hired by an anonymous company that wants the tiger's genetic material, Martin arrives in Tasmania posing as a scientist. He proceeds to set up base camp at a broken-down farmhouse where he stays with a family whose father has gone missing. Usually a loner, Martin becomes increasingly close to the family. However, as his habit of the family grows, unforeseen dangers complicating his deadly mission. So, yeah. There's that.
So speaking of Willem Dafoe, I saw a crossdresser downtown who is less convincing than him.
Oh, good lord. Just terrifying. Yeah, that movie sounds interesting. It's just... it's a Willem Dafoe limited release, and I'll probably see it.
I might see it.
Yeah. I do not have high hopes for it. But apparently it's good. It's got like an 80 on Rotten Tomatoes right now. But speaking of low expectations, ATM. So, after leaving the Compass Christmas party together, David Hargrove and Emily Brandt's impromptu first date takes an unexpected turn when their co-worker, Corey, asks them to make a late night stop at an ATM. What should be a routine transaction turns into a desperate struggle for survival when an unknown man appears outside the vestibule The wintry temperatures dropping below freezing, and the morning sunrise still hours away, they have no choice but to play the man's deadly game of cat and mouse. Yeah, so... A guy in a parka with a tire wrench traps some people inside, like, doesn't really trap, but stands outside an ATM terminal thing and keeps people inside while they do not wear their winter jackets and freeze to death. Yeah, it looks fucking retarded as hell.
See, like, I'm thinking of Canada where you've got, like, three ATMs. Or, like, I can think of one ATM that's not in a building.
Well, yeah, so, like, their thing is, like, it's in, like, it's essentially an ATM phone booth, only bigger. It's just, like, this, like, I can't even think of a way to describe it. It's, like, it's essentially just, like, what do you put, like, five phone booths in like a square that's like five phone booths by five phone booths and then haul it out inside and put in two ATMs. So they are quote unquote trapped in that. While a guy stands outside with a tire iron and stares at them. And like there is nothing physically keeping them in there. Like their car is like 5 feet away. They could easily run out, put the keys in, and then go. But it's like, oh no, wait. He might be looking outside, just out of view, and we will not be able to see him while he comes up and beats to death with his tire iron. Even though there's three of us. Yeah, it is. It's one of those really stupid horror movie premises where you're just thinking. Why don't they just do this? It'll make things a lot easier.
See, if he was standing outside with a flamethrower, I would understand.
Mm. Yes. If he was, like... If they were in a phone booth and he was standing outside, I might be able to understand. Because, you know, if he was standing outside, you know, with a gun... But no, it's just a tire iron. It's like, he kills one guy, and it's like, oh no, he killed that guy. Let us take off our winter coats and hide in this poorly insulated building thing. Yeah, that's the other thing. They all have winter coats. They all have, like, winter... They all have some form of winter wear, but they all just kind of take it off.
Why?
I don't know. And apparently the thing's, like... Apparently, even though the thing has shitty insulation, it's apparently watertight, because at one point in the trailer, the guy starts filling it up with water. So, it can't keep in the heat, but it can definitely keep in water.
So, yeah.
This movie looks like ass on a log. It's starring people I've never even heard of, aside from Alice Eve, who I once heard of like a couple days ago. Oh yeah, it also has Josh Peck, who some of you may know from Drake and Josh.
Is that a Family Network show or something?
Yeah, it's a bad spinoff from the Amanda Show.
Okay.
So yeah, this. That movie looks like ass on a log, and that does it for new releases.
I'm sorry, it just clicked with me that you said bad spinoff from the Amanda Show.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah, so the Amanda Show was already the pinnacle of children's entertainment.
Oh, that Nickelodeon show?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Amanda, please.
Oh.
Yeah, the thing that brought us Amanda Bynes. So, yeah, there's that, and it's coming out tomorrow, or today, or next week. Yeah, next week. Fucking, I'm sorry, I'm out of it.
Trailers!
Yeah, trailers. You guys see any trailers?
Yeah, I saw, and I have a note here on my notepad. The trailer for the Total Recall trailer. And in brackets
yes.
I have, no, I'm not fucking kidding.
If that was not a typo, it is a trailer for an upcoming trailer.
So I now know that the Total Recall trailer is going to come out on Sunday, and I'm so psyched for it because I saw the trailer for it.
Yeah, so, well, for starters, they remade Total Recall with Colin Farrell, who is the one who will be getting his ass to Mars. With Kate Beckinsale in the Sharon Stone role. I think that's their name. That's either of their names. Yeah, I don't know, but this movie's gonna be shit.
Yeah, already I can point out one thing. In some scenes, they've tried to make things look too dirty, and in others, they've tried to make things look too clean. They have never at any point found the middle ground.
And they spend a lot, and so far, a lot of the trailer's been spent on Earth.
But, you know, haven't even seen the full trailer. We've only seen the trailer for the trailer.
Yes, and so, unless Colin Farrell, pulls up a video of himself where he tells himself to get his ass to Mars, and then he pulls an impossibly large thing out of his nose while his head is wrapped in a wet towel. that's gotta be the thing. It's gotta be in that movie. Like, their terrible Michael Ironside ripoff has to be, chase him down, then he shoots, little panel thing that he has, and he says, get your ass to Mars, get your ass to Mars, get your ass to Mars. And then he just sticks something up his nose, oh. God, Total Recall was great. This doesn't. This probably won't, because good lord.
It's another thing of, why are you remaking this?
Money?
Yeah, the studios have lost ideas.
Yeah.
And,
I'm guessing that the people who, and I really want to see Total Recall, but all the videos are by time have closed down, and we don't have internet. So I guess they'll be like, hey, anyone out there who hasn't seen Total Recall yet and don't have, a brain, come see this one. Because, good lord.
And it's unfortunate. I mean, the film industry has been doing this for far too long, for way too many years, remaking stuff, whether it be children's television shows or whatever, for nostalgia. I don't know what it is for, but it's just, there's no creative ideas in Hollywood.
Such as their reboot of In Living Color.
Yeah, it hasn't been anything new, I would say anything fresh in a good 5 years, but not longer. It's sad.
Yeah, it's just...
Here's what Hollywood needs to do. And I guarantee you this works. If you get children, hear me out, you start with children, and you get them some coaching...
I like where this is going.
you get them some coaching and writing, and you give them some time to work on their story. It'll take them a while to actually, you know. And their stories will mostly be short. But then you've got a bunch of short stories that you can combine into one thing, kind of like a serial thing, like the Twilight Zone. And you can actually, with enough coaching, get kids to write feasible scripts. I've seen it work.
Or to spend even less money, just get kids, put them in a room, give them some sugar, and then write down whatever they do. It's like, all right, so here's a box of toys, some sugar, and go nuts. And they just sit behind some like two-way bulletproof glass. And just, like, write down anything they do and say.
And I'm not kidding. They will come up with original and funny ideas.
Yeah. Felicia Day actually came up with this because she has a new show on her channel, Geek & Sundry, called Written by a Kid. And we have been trying to, and I've been trying to get some people from Geek & Sundry to come on and talk to us about it, but they have not returned any emails.
Hmm.
Because they hate us.
Screw you, Felicia Day.
Yeah. Everyone hates us.
The lineup for your panel was way too long at that one fan thing. Expo? I think it was fan expo.
At that one thing you went to in Canada.
No, that wasn't fan expo. That was... Yeah, that would have had to have been fan expo.
Yeah, because... Okay, fuck it. We're done. See, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the AstroProds.com movies podcast. And that does it for this week of podcasts. Next week, be sure to join us next week when we will have the Video Games Podcast on Tuesday, Anime on Thursday, and Battlecast on Friday, I mean Saturday, where we'll be battling, I think it was Nemesis from Resident Evil versus Sloth from Full Metal Alchemist.
Yep.
So yeah, that's going to be fun. We just need to find somebody that can battle for Nemesis. Because I don't think anyone can.
I think all of us have at least seen the movie version, so we could go based on that.
That's Sloth will win, no hands down. But so yeah, hopefully at the time this is up, we will be hosting our commentary for Gangs of New York, and be sure to come back next week when we'll be posting our commentary for Death Note: The Director's Cut, which is this kickoff of Anime Month, where we will be watching Death Note, then Summer Wars, then Princess Mononoke. Then the first Naruto Shippuden movie called Naruto Shippuden, the movie. Yeah, also, I don't know about the other three movies, but we'll be watching Summer Wars dubbed.
Death Note subbed, Naruto subbed.
Okay, so yeah. We'll be watching at least two of these, so at least two of these subbed and at least one of them dubbed. Not sure about Princess Mononoke. But yeah, so stay tuned for that. And hopefully, next week for our podcast, I will be coherent. But until then, I'm dead.
I'm Obi-Wan.
And I'm Toy Box.
We'll see you next time.